Ok, j'essaie de mettre en place ça, et puis je change de langue. Stop doing that. Ok. Mary, the next queen, Queen Mary, is a Catholic. She brings everything back to Catholicism, but she has to make a compromise, and she does not give back to the church all the riches and monasteries and gold which was taken from the church by Henry and Edward. So, new compromise. We have Catholic religious ideas, but the Catholic Church does not have the power it had before. Oh, sorry, who's this? This is one of the men who said no. Yeah, he was not a Catholic, he was a Protestant. He was captured, Thomas Cranmer. Cranmer, it sits right at the top. He was captured, he was imprisoned. He said, you know, I am against the Pope. And so they tortured him. He said, I am for the Pope. Smart guy, yeah? He changed his mind. And he signed a recantation saying, I have changed my mind. The Pope is wonderful. Yeah? And they said, okay, well, if you sign this, we won't torture you anymore. But we will execute you. Sorry. We will execute you. But first of all, before we execute you, we want you to give a talk in the cathedral in Oxford to explain why the Pope is wonderful. He says political reason. Yeah, political. It's like a inventeur, political inventeur. And he got up just before he was executed and he said, I am sorry because I signed things which were not true. I reject the Pope as the Antichrist and the devil. Yeah? Okay, so this was a political failure for Mary. Yeah? And so Thomas Cranmer was one of the people who was executed. One of the Protestants who was executed by Mary the Catholic and became a great hero. That's him again, Cranmer again. And after Mary only lasts a few years, Mary 5 years, yeah. Edward 6 years, Mary 5 years. And then we have Elizabeth, 45 years, 45-year reign, very, very long reign, and Elizabeth will succeed in stabilising a Protestant church. A stable Protestant church, not too extreme. Not too extreme, yes.
But why did he change his mind?
Torture. They tortured him.
Because he pretended that he liked the Pope, but he didn't mean it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. C'est le pouvoir de la torture, hein, mais il vous enlève un petit bout et puis il voit, est-ce que vous avez changé de vie? On enlève encore un petit bout, on verra. Souvent ça marche. Hein.
So he was asked to write a paper?
That's right, yeah. He was forced, yeah, that's right. C'est un peu gore. Hein. Elizabeth, however, did execute some Catholics. And this is Edmund Campion. I went to a Catholic school in the north of England. And the name of the school was named after this man who was executed by Elizabeth. And every Easter we sang a song, and the text of the song is "How sweet would be thy children's fate if they like them would die for you." C'est qu'est-ce que ce serait doux si seulement je pourrais mourir comme l'ont fait les martyrs. Yeah, on nous faisait chanter ça enfant. Hein. C'est peu raide, moi je l'avoue là, je suis pas sûr. Hein. Okay, so we have the stabilization under Elizabeth and then James. At the beginning of the, maintenant il est 1603, James, the next king, again continues this more stable situation of the Protestant church, where on the one hand they execute a few Catholics, and on the other hand they execute some of the more radical Protestants, because some of the more radical Protestants do not agree with the Church of England, they look in the Bible and say, hey, Jesus was very poor. If you're a Christian, you must be poor. You cannot be rich and a Christian. Those are very radical ideas, yeah? And we will see these radical ideas will become more influential afterwards. However, James, who is really rather interested in hierarchy, and he wants to make sure we keep the bishops and so on, he does authorize this translation into English of the Bible, official, authorized translation of the Holy Bible, and this is called the King James Bible, du roi Jacques, Today it is the most popular translation in the world into English of the Bible. Yes, he did something. So for 40 years, James the First and then Charles the First, we have this situation where the church is relatively stable, but there is a continual debate inside the Church of England. On the one hand, you have people who say, we need to go back to more Catholic ideas. Not completely Catholicism, but more statues, more hierarchy, more special clothes for the priests, etc. And other people inside the Church of England, the Puritans, say, no, this Reformation is the beginning. We must go much further. And so all this big fight going on in this period. At the same time, James and Charles, they are looking to France. Let's have a look in France. What's happening in France? Louis XIV, yeah? Versailles. Oh, he has a good idea. He has all the power in France. I like this idea. I am king. It looks a good idea to me. And the king, King James and King Charles, try to take more, they had a lot of power, but more and more power. For example, for several years, Charles rules with no parliament. No parliament, just, yeah, because the parliament will not give him enough money, enough taxes. And so he said, okay, I don't need a parliament. 11 years without any parliaments. And so this is absolutism, yeah? The king, no parliament, this is absolutism. And so the conflict between the king and the parliament is getting stronger and stronger, and this carries over the religious conflict. Inside the parliament, a lot of different ideas inside the parliament, but many more radical Protestant ideas inside the parliament. A lot of different ideas inside the king and the royalists and his friends, but mostly hierarchy. Let's get closer to Catholicism. And Charles I even went to see Louis XIV in France, and he said, I promise I will convert to Catholicism, but not for the moment because it's a bit dangerous, yeah? But when it is the right moment, I promise I will convert to Catholicism. Yeah? It was a secret, but unfortunately, comme aujourd'hui, il y avait un journaliste dans les parages, un paparazzi, yeah? And everybody knew it. So this is a big conflict. One, absolute power for the king, or more rights for parliament. Two, traditional hierarchical views on religion, or a more radical view of religion. And this will lead, over a period of 30, 40 years, to a situation of civil war. Okay, and so I'm now going to move on to the civil war. Now, the first thing to remember about the civil war is there are three important actors. There is the king and his army. Perhaps you remember he has to create a new army. There is no permanent army. There is no standing army. He has to create a new army of all the people who think tradition and hierarchy are the most important things. We have the parliament, and we have the parliament's army. And little by little, these will be three independent actors, because the parliament, of course, is not democratic. Yeah. When we say parliament today, we think, oh yes, elections, etc. The parliament at the time, you can only vote if you are very rich. Yeah. Okay. So the parliament is not democracy. The parliament is a general elite against personal power. However, the army, the parliament army, when the civil war begins, the parliament is obliged to have a popular army with lots of people in it. And little by little, the army will become much more radical than the parliament. And big sections of the army will defend democracy, which is a dangerous extremist idea at the time. Yeah, the idea that everybody should have their say in what happens. And this will be the basis of the civil war, because, of course, before the civil war, there is a long period where everybody hesitates. The king says, well, what should I do? These people are rebelling against me. They say I can't raise taxes and so on. And somebody's trying to say, execute them all. Yeah, but if I execute them all, that might make a big rebellion. They might find another king, yeah? So hesitation. On the parliamentary side, oh, this king is terrible. We should take up arms and fight against the king. But he's the king. God chose him. Did God chose him? I don't know. Is it written in the Bible? A big debate. And a huge amount of hesitation, yeah? There is no example. Maintenant, aujourd'hui, on sait que les Français, ils ont décapité le roi en 1700 et quelques, super. Hein? But at the time, it was a very, very, very shocking idea, but how could we live without a king? What's a republic? The word republic is not generally used at the time. So a huge hesitation. Most of the parliament want to frighten the king to have a new negotiation. We want a new compromise. You are going too far. So, unfortunately, we have to do this and this. We refuse to give you taxes. We refuse this because we want a new compromise. We want to negotiate. But once the civil war begins, that will be very, very different. First of all, because civil wars are extremely violent, much more violent than other kinds of wars, because nobody can be neutral in a civil war. Yeah? The king's army arrives in your village, you can't be neutral. You can't be neutral. It's impossible to be neutral, because either you help them, and therefore you must defend yourself against the other army, or you refuse to help them, and you must fight them. Yeah, there are no neutral people. So the civil war breaks out in 1642. It lasts a long time. And one of the important points about it, ideologically, is once the king is no longer recognized as king, because there's a civil war going on, all of the radical Protestants say, hey, the world is changing. We had a king 100 years ago, we had a king 200 years ago, we had a king 300 years ago, and now we have no king. Well, that's a good beginning. Let's talk about all the different kind of society we want. And all the religious groups, on dit souvent des sectes, mais il faut voir qu'un secte, c'est tout simplement une religion minoritaire. Hein? And so they were like small political parties, and they went from village to village and say, let me tell you now, when the many, many different ideas. When the king has disappeared, this is a sign that the end of the world is coming and Jesus is going to come again. Very, very popular idea. Yeah. Another group who says, yes, oh yes, well, this particular group, for example, the Diggers, D-E-G-G-E-R-S, the Diggers, is one group, a religious group. But remember, at the time, religious group and political group is the same thing. And their leader was Winstanley, and his idea of religion, Christianity, was England is not a free people till the poor that have no land have a free allowance to dig and labour the commons. Donc l'Angleterre ne peut pas être considérée un pays libre jusqu'à ce que les pauvres sans terre ont le droit de prendre la terre qui n'est pas utilisée par d'autres. Okay, so this is a revolutionary idea, yeah? It's a revolutionary idea. It's the traditional idea, you have no land, it's your fault, you know? This is the idea that the land belongs to everybody. And Winstanley will say, let's look in the Bible. Where in the Bible does it say that the rich should have land and eat, and the poor should have no land and starve? It doesn't say it in the Bible. Let's have a revolution against the present system. So the Civil War opens the doors of all sorts of new radical ideas, which the elite are very worried about. Of course, the king is very worried, but also the leaders of the parliament become more and more worried about these kind of ideas. And the leaders of the parliament say, oh, we want a different king, we don't like this king, but we don't want all these new ideas. Oh, no, we don't want all that. Let me give you some more examples. Oh, this is the military process of the Civil War. It's a map. You can see at the beginning, the red is the part of the country controlled by the king, and the green is the part of the country controlled by the parliament. And as you can see at the beginning, this is the beginning at the top left. In the first period, the king makes a lot of advances. Look, the situation looks bad here for parliament. But then, eventually, il est peu normal que le vert ça augmente, puisque vous saviez que c'est le Parlement qui a gagné. Hein? Okay, and how is this done? Well, the fundamental element in how this is done is that Oliver Cromwell decides we need a new kind of army. The traditional hierarchical army will not win. What we need is an army of people who believe in the new society we're going to build. We need an army of radical Protestants. And he recruits people Not in the traditional way. The traditional way is, oh, you've joined the army. Are you an aristocrat? No, okay. You can have a little job. You're an aristocrat? Yes, you're the general. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You have no military knowledge. It doesn't matter. You're an aristocrat. You're the boss. You must be. It's natural. Yeah. That's the old method. And the new method, Oliver Cromwell built this new model army. That's the name of it. Il l'ont nommé d'après un groupe de rock. The new model army, which has a new way of fighting, and where the central element is ideology and politics. Of course, once the king is executed and the parliament is in charge, the army is much more radical than the parliament wants. And the parliament says, okay, thank you very much, army, go home now. And the army says, no, we're not going home. We have a political project, we have a new kind of society we want, and we want to talk about it. Now, at this point, the army elects its own officers. C'est une armée où les officiers sont élus. Non, pas beaucoup, hein, dans l'histoire, c'est pas normal. Hein. It's a very democratic army, and they will have a debate with Cromwell, the Putney debates, debates with Cromwell, where they will say all about what kind of society they want. That's another completely unusual thing, yes? Normally, the soldiers in an army do not say to the general, okay, next Sunday, we will meet with you and have a big debate about politics and society. In armies, normally, you don't say that to the general. It's dangerous, yeah? Very, very democratic army. And the result of all this will be, then, the establishment. The parliament will win and marginalise the army little by little. But you will have the establishment of a republic under the name of the Commonwealth, and Oliver Cromwell will be the Lord Protector, not the king, it's not a hereditary title, he will be the Lord Protector, and this will last for 11 years. For 11 years, England is a republic called the Commonwealth. Not easy, because there is no consensus among the elites. Little by little they agree, okay, we must execute the king. But they do not find a new system which causes a consensus. And so, after only 11 years, a section of the elite writes a letter to James, the son of the executed king, and says, please will you come back here and be our king again? And he does, and you have the restoration of the monarchy in 1660. But, which I've already said this many times in class, as one historian said, what has been written by the sword cannot be undone by the pen. Ce qui a été écrit avec l'épée ne peut pas être effacé avec le stylo. You have a king again, but he will never have the power in the old way. And very quickly, after the restoration, you get a series of reforms. First of all, the king will receive a salary from the parliament. The king cannot raise taxes anymore. They will receive an annual salary. Very, very clear. Who is boss? The parliament is boss. And finally, in 1688, you will have the final demonstration that parliament is boss. They are unhappy with the king, and so they sack the king and choose another one. Okay? Quand on est roi, en général, on a la sécurité d'emploi, c'est le CDI, jusqu'à la mort, en principe. And in this case, it was not the case, because the new king, James II, was a Catholic. A section of the elite wrote a letter to William in Holland, said, please come to England with an army and replace our king. And William said, oh, okay. And so he arrived. James had no chance. In fact, poor James, his daughter joined William. C'est déprimant, hein? Vous êtes roi. Il y a une armée étrangère qui envahit, vous vous mettez à vous battre avec votre armée, et votre fille va rejoindre l'autre côté. C'est déprimant, hein? Yeah, they had a bad time. And the result was you had the new king, William, and his wife Mary, William and Mary. But the fundamental thing about William and Mary is that the only reason they were king and queen is because Parliament chose them. And so you have the end of all possibility of absolute monarchy. And in this very English way, you have a big change, but we don't change the names. So even today, we still have a queen, but she has no power. We have a House of Lords, but there are no aristocrats in it anymore. This is very English. We keep the same name, and we change everything underneath. Thank you for listening so well. That was the Reformation and the Civil War. Dernière petite. Je ne sais pas, est-ce que quelqu'un a vraiment l'heure? Parce que j'ai 3 heures différentes. Voilà. Il y avait moins 10, ok. Encore 5 minutes, je vous laisse à moins 5. Ok, so, that's the fundamental story. Just let me show you a few more pictures about it. This is a document by the Levelers. Donc je remonte pendant la guerre civile. This is a document by the Levelers, which is one of the groups, one of the radical groups during the Civil War, one of the most influential radical groups, the Levelers, who demanded democracy and freedom of religion. Everybody can go to church in the way that they prefer. Now, today, that seems very normal to us. Yeah, freedom of religion, of course. It's an individual choice, of course. At the time, this is a very, very shocking idea. Yeah, very, very shocking idea, freedom of religion. What else do we have here? This is a picture of the Putney debates. It's a modern picture, of the Putney debates, where the army are there, and the reason they are there is to have a big debate with Oliver Cromwell. And they will say, we want to explain to you the importance of democracy. Everybody should vote, etc. And Oliver Cromwell, who was against the king, but not so radical, he did not want democracy. He wanted a different elite. And he was defending himself, which is very interesting, because normally, in a non-democratic country, it's not necessary to defend yourself against other people's ideas. You just put them into prison. No problem. What's the problem? Yeah. And so they obliged him to debate with them. That's the little picture of that. You see the tents and so on. So, Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell died during the Republic, and when the king came back, the restoration of the monarchy, they executed him. But he was already dead, so they dug up his body and cut it into little pieces and put his head in front of the palace for a few months. Just to encourage people to not to do the same thing. Yeah. Some of the people involved in executing Charles I were still alive, and they died very slowly. Yeah. Very, very bloody story. This is a modern film. These are the soldiers of the new model army. Much more utilitarian. The royal soldiers had lots of beautiful feathers and clothes and so on. This is much more utilitarian. The roundheads. Gerard Winstanley, though, that's a modern picture of the leader of the diggers. And that's also a document of the Levelers. There were many, many documents. Suddenly, you see, what happened is when they took the king away, there were 100 ideas of what to do instead. And this is the last one. This is an interesting one. This is Oliver Cromwell. And Oliver Cromwell has a statue in front of the House of Parliament in London. Which is strange, because, okay, Oliver Cromwell led the Republic, but then the monarchy was re-established, Cromwell was cut into little bits, and yet 100 years later, the new elites somehow understood that although Cromwell was this terrible criminal who killed the king, in fact, he provided the basis for a modern economy and a modern political system, and so somebody decided to have his statue in front of the Houses of Parliament. What was fundamentally historic about Oliver Cromwell is that he understood that to win a civil war, you need to recruit the ordinary people. Now, that's even true in the 20th century, but it was true then, which was a new idea, and that was Cromwell. That's enough for today. And next week we have the Industrial Revolution and the Empire. Thank you.